Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Philippa Hitchin, and today we're looking back at Pope Francis's pastoral visit to Mexico with reports from our very own Veronica Scaresbrick, who's been in Mexico City covering the journey for us. Francis arrived back in Rome on Thursday at the end of his six-day pastoral visit to Mexico. It was a journey which took him initially to the nation's capital, Mexico City, and then on to the southern state of Chiapas on the border with Guatemala, to Michoacán, renowned for its drug and gun violence, and finally to the northern city of Ciudad Juárez, where he celebrated Mass on the nation's border with the USA. Veronica Scaresbrick was in Mexico with Pope Francis throughout this visit and reported on the legacy that the first Latin American pope left behind at the conclusion of this very intense itinerary.
The people of Mexico are certainly not used to wearing their hearts on their sleeves, or not anyway when it comes to Pope Francis. And as he came to their nation as a messenger of peace, they opened up their hearts and lifted up their faces towards him. And he was grateful, struck by their love for him, by their joy, by their constant request that he bless them, expressing in private his wonder at their disinterested affection. In turn, he was giving with the Mexican people, in a special way with those on the margins of society. In this land of contrasts, where religiosity and popular piety run deep, and where helpless violence reigns, he had come for almost a week to walk through the peripheries with them, the people of Mexico. And as he departed, he said, "Thank you for having opened the doors of your lives to me, the doors of your nation."
Gracias por haberme abierto las puertas de sus vidas, de su nación.
And then Francis quoted from a poem by Nobel laureate Octavio Paz by the title of Brotherhood.
El escritor mexicano Octavio Paz dice en su poema Hermandad,
one where this Mexican poet speaks of the vastness of night, of how, if we look up to the skies, the stars hold a written message, one we too are part of, one which is spelt out for us. And Francis commented, I dare to suggest that the one who spells out this message for us and indicates a path for us to follow is the mysterious but real presence of God in the real flesh of all people, especially the poorest and most needy. Throughout his 6 days in Mexico, Francis has, as a man of God, during this year of mercy, visited places where most people fear to tread, from the sprawling, lawless Barrio Bravo of Ecatepec, where desperate people alleviate their pain by painting colour onto their miserable homes, to Mexico City's hospital for gravely sick children, to Chiapas, where indigenous people have suffered abuse, and to whom he asked forgiveness for the church's wrongs of the past, to chillingly drug-ridden Michoacán, where young people are caught in a web of despair, to Ciudad Juárez, where he met with the inmates of a high-security prison, and with immigrants with their dashed dreams. But he had a message for the men and women of God in this nation as well. To them he expressed the wish that Mexican people might find reflected in their faces the Lord, the presence of God, and on another occasion invited them not to be tempted by resignation in the face of paralyzing injustice. And upon his departure, Pope Francis said to the people of Mexico,
La noche nos puede parecer enorme y muy oscura.
Nights here can seem vast and filled with great darkness. Despite this, he added, in many of your faces I have encountered the presence of God, God who carries on walking in this land, guiding you, sustaining you in hope. Many of you, with your daily efforts, make it possible for Mexican society not to be shrouded in darkness. You are tomorrow's prophets, the sign of a new dawn.
Son profetas del mañana, son signo de un nuevo amanecer.
Pope Francis' visit here has surely provided Mexicans with a cone of light from the skies in the midst of a sea of darkness. But like his first words here in Mexico, His last were dedicated to the Mother of the Nation, Our Lady of Guadalupe. Already upon his arrival in Mexico, Pope Francis had quoted Octavio Paz, who once described Guadalupe, the spiritual heart of the nation, as a place of rest, where people, orphaned and disinherited, might seek a place of refuge, a home. And as Pope Francis bade farewell to Mexico, he said,
Que María, la madre de Guadalupe,
May Mary, Mother of Guadalupe, continue to walk on your lands, helping you to be missionaries and witnesses of mercy and reconciliation.
De misericordia y reconciliación.
In Mexico, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Veronica reporting there on the final day of Pope Francis's visit to Mexico. On the flight back from Mexico to Rome on Thursday, Pope Francis gave a lengthy press conference, talking to journalists about many subjects, including paedophile priests, Mexico's desaparecidos, the church in Ukraine, and the Zika virus. Asked why he had not met with relatives of the 43 Mexican student teachers who went missing in Guerrero State in 2014, Pope Francis said he had spoken at length about the problems of assassinations by criminal gangs and drug traffickers. He said he was willing to meet with the relatives, but there are many groups representing these desaparecidos, he said, and there are also internal disputes among these groups. Another Mexican journalist asked about the problem of child abuse and the legacy which the founder of the legionaries, Marcial Maciel, left the country. Pope Francis said that a bishop who knowingly moves a priest accused of abuse from one parish to another is irresponsible and should resign from his post. He also stressed how hard his predecessor, Pope Benedict, had worked over the past decade to tackle the problem and pointed to the various steps he had taken with his Council of Cardinals, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, and the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors. Asked about immigration and the threats of US presidential candidates to build walls along the southern border, the Pope said he would not comment on the US elections, but added a person who thinks only of building walls anywhere rather than building bridges is not a Christian. Pope Francis also spoke at length about his historic meeting last Friday with Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill and about the concerns of Greek Catholics in Ukraine who felt betrayed by the encounter. The Pope said he understood those fears expressed by Greek Catholic Archbishop Sviatoslav Shevchuk, adding that he is entitled to his own ideas regarding the conflict in Ukraine. It's important to take the comments in context, Pope Francis insisted, since Archbishop Shevchuk also described the encounter as a good thing, which he hopes will lead to further dialogue. Asked about responses to the Zika virus, which is causing birth defects, especially across Latin America, the Pope stressed that abortion is a crime which can never be justified as a lesser evil and which goes against the Hippocratic oath that doctors must take.
L'aborto non è un male minore.
Using contraceptives to avoid pregnancy can be acceptable in difficult situations, he said, noting that Pope Paul VI authorized nuns in Africa to do the same half a century ago when they were threatened with rape. The Pope also talked about the European Union, saying that he will soon be receiving the prestigious Charlemagne Prize, which he will offer for the future of the continent. Endorsing the concept of a refounding of the European Union, he asked who could be the founding fathers of today. One American journalist returned to the question of marriage, asking how a merciful church can forgive the sins of a murderer more easily than someone who divorces and remarries. Pope Francis said the post-synod document on the family, which should be published before Easter, will explore in depth the question of marital breakdown and especially the need for better marriage preparation. He noted how many couples are pressured into getting married quickly if there is a baby on the way, saying that as Bishop of Buenos Aires, he instructed his priests to put off such weddings until the couples were ready to commit to each other for the rest of their lives. Divorced and remarried couples must be reintegrated into the life of the church, the Pope stressed, adding that it is a long journey, but that all doors are open.
Tutte le porte sono aperte.
Commenting on revelations this week that Pope John Paul II had a long-standing close friendship with an American woman, Pope Francis replied that a man who is unable to have such good friendships with women is a man who is missing something in his life. Personally speaking, he said, he likes to take advice from women who see things in a different way. The Church has still not really understood how much good women can bring in terms of advice, help and healthy friendships, he added. Speaking of future trips and meetings, Pope Francis said he'd like to travel to China and that he was hoping to meet soon with the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Ahmed El Tayeb. Finally, the Pope joined journalists in thanking Alberto Gasparri, the organiser of papal trips for the past 4 decades, who is retiring at the end of the month. Let's take a look back now at some of the most poignant moments of the Pope's visit to Mexico, starting with an encounter he had with prisoners in the northern city of Ciudad Juárez, very close to the border with Texas. Before celebrating Mass for people on both sides of the border, he made a point of stopping at the Cerezo No. 3 penitentiary, where he met with some 700 inmates, telling them he did not want to leave the country without celebrating with them the Jubilee of Mercy.
Pope Francis arrived in Ciudad Juárez to the notes of the popular song Cielito Lindo and the warmth of the people of this place, once a hellhole dubbed not so long ago the murder capital of the world. The sun shone and Francis climbed into the 5th Popemobile of his visit to Mexico to reach the high security prison Cerezo No. 3, the center for social adjustment in Ciudad Juárez, which houses 3,000 inmates. Met by the prison authorities, Francis entered behind bars and made his way to the tiny white chapel, which stood out starkly in the strong light against the barren mountains. And in the chapel he prayed, giving the prison a crystal crucifix, symbol of the fragility of mankind. Praying together through a TV feed with other prison inmates, watching right across the nation. And then a group of inmates played a tango in honor of the Argentinian Pope. They'd been practicing for months, while all the while 700 others, among them women, not all Catholics, stood by in their grey tracksuits. One of them, a woman, took the floor, and with a voice broken with emotion spoke of mercy and hope, highlighting how vulnerable and alone inmates feel.
Santo Padre Francisco.
How the prison experience can transform one's life. May our children, she said, never repeat our experience. Thank you, Pope Francis, she concluded, for being with us today, for bringing us a message of hope. And when she finished, 50 of the prisoners got a chance to embrace Francis. They seemed very controlled. A few had smiles on their faces. And all the while the Cerezo band played Bésame Mucho. And by the time the men started walking up, the Cerezo band played a tango, and the last of them gave the Pope a gift, a pastoral cross they had carved in wood, one he held on to for a moment. And then Pope Francis, who had looked thoughtful throughout, spoke, highlighting how there is no place beyond the reach of mercy, no space or person it cannot touch.
No hay espacio donde su misericordia no pueda llegar.
Mercy, he went on to say, reminds us that reintegration does not begin here, within these walls. Rather, it begins outside, in the streets of the city.
En la capacidad que tenga una sociedad de incluir.
Mercy, Pope Francis insisted, means learning not to be prisoners of the past. It means believing that things can change. We know that we cannot turn back, but I wanted to celebrate with you the Jubilee of Mercy, because it does not exclude the possibility of writing a new story and moving forward.
Sufren el dolor de la caída.
The one who has suffered the greatest pain, he insisted, and we could say has experienced hell, can become a prophet in society. With the Pope in Mexico, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
Also travelling with Pope Francis in Mexico was the director of the Holy See Press Office, Jesuit Father Federico Lombardi, who stressed the fact that the Pope came to the country as a messenger of mercy and peace. Even through his gestures and small actions, Father Lombardi said, the Pope was teaching love and demonstrating God's mercy, not only through his words. In this way, he added, the Pope has contributed very much to the harmony and reconciliation of a society that has inequalities, dramatic tensions and problems with violence and internal conflict.
The Pope was really teaching love and demonstrating love and mercy of God through his attitude, through his gesture, not only through his words. And in this way, he has contributed very much to the harmony and reconciliation of a society that has dramatic tensions and problems with violence, and internal conflicts and disparities of situation in the society. He has done this in a very pastoral way, not as a politician, not as a person that comes with easy solutions for problems that are so incredibly difficult. But he demonstrates understanding for the situation, for the people and the temptation that they have, or discouragement in this situation, and he encourages and he witnesses the love of God, invites to profound devotion to the Virgin of Guadalupe that is in the heart of the Mexican, and in this sense he nurtures the engagement also in the concrete life, in the family, in the society. And I think he leaves to the Mexican people a treasure of hope, a treasure of horizon, of hopes for the future. And in particular, he has stressed this to the young people, to the youth, because they are the majority of the society, and the future is concretely in their hands, even if they have so big difficulties to find their way in this society. But it brings really a contribution of hope, of love, of harmony, and this is what he had to do, and he has done very well.
You work closely with Pope Francis. Was there any moment when he expressed something special that you find particularly significant?
Yes, he was very impressed by the love of the people on the streets. The Pope was impressed by the love of the people for him on the streets. He says this is a love that demonstrates gratuity, is not interest. They come to demonstrate spontaneously and sincerely that they love the Pope, the Church, that they desire to be a community with hopes in a better situation. And this has impressed the Pope very much. I think he's grateful for the witness of love that he has received, and he has tried to give his contribution to them for overcome this historical difficult moment.
If I may, there were lots of moving moments during this trip. Which was the most moving one for you, personally?
Yes, I think two. The moment of the silent dialogue between the Pope and the Virgin of Guadalupe in the Basilica at the end of the Mass, this from the spiritual point of view. And the other is yesterday in the meeting of the families, there was a moment in which from the people that were in the stadium, it was brought a chair with a child that was really deformed, and they brought this height, like the, I thought today to the people in the gospel that bring the paralytic to Jesus. The Pope has seen this and then came down from the podium to encounter this this child and to bless him. It was it was a very particular moment. A witness of faith of the Pope, of the people bringing this this sick young man to the Pope, and the love of the Pope that interrupts the listening to the witnesses of the families to go down where he sees this desire of blessing for a person that was in very, very particular grave sickness.
Director of the Holy See Press Office, Father Federico Lombardi, speaking to Veronica Scaresbrick. Another of the highlights of the Pope's six-day visit to Mexico was the Mass that he celebrated at the sports centre of San Cristobal de las Casas in the southernmost state of Chiapas on the morning of Monday, February the 15th. As Veronica Scaresbrick reports, it was a colourful celebration for the thousands of indigenous people who turned out to welcome the man they call Amigo Francisco, Papa de la Libertad, our friend Francis, Pope of Freedom.
It was a colourful celebration for Amigo Francisco, Papa de la Libertad, our friend Francis, Pope of Freedom. He had chosen to be with the indigenous people of Chiapas, and they turned up in their gaudy traditional costumes, providing a splash of colour in this beautiful mountainous region where nature reigns. And the sound of rather elaborate wooden xylophones filled the air. It was a highly symbolical celebration, firstly because in this remote area home to the Mayan people, the altar stood out against a backdrop of a giant cutout of the colourful ochre, rust and white facade of the city's cathedral, placed there to indicate the connection with the centuries-old evangelization, initially by the Spanish Dominicans. Secondly, because the altar in this region of Mayan temples in misty jungles, waterfalls and a wealth of wildlife rested on a Mayan pyramid, symbolic of steps reaching up to heaven, meaning how Christian faith does not clash with the cultural roots of a people. And the altar itself evoked the waterfalls of Agua Azul, so an expression of the harmonious contact with nature, of the abundance of the rainforest. And the Mayan people came in great numbers, 150,000 of them from right across Chiapas. For the record, there are 12 federally recognized ethnicities, the largest group being the Chamulans, a subset of the Tzotzil Mayas, who make up a third of Chiapas' nearly 1 million indigenous people. And the Pope's presence here took on meaning. He had chosen to be with a people who have long been used and misused by the local Ladinos, those of Spanish origin, and the Mestizos, those of mixed race. To put you in the picture, not so long ago the indigenous people were only allowed into town for the market, but had to return to their homes in the pine forests at night. That's when they weren't misused as easy labor.
Vuestros pueblos han sido incomprendidos y excluidos de la sociedad.
And in his homily, Pope Francis had words of comfort relating to this exclusion of the indigenous people from society, highlighting how on many an occasion some have considered the values and culture of this people's traditions to be inferior, how others, intoxicated by power, money and market trends, had stolen their lands or contaminated them.
Qué tristeza.
How sad, the Pope said to this people from whom he insisted, we have a lot to learn from. Your peoples know how to interact harmoniously with nature, which they respect as a source of food, a common home, and an altar of human sharing.
Y altar del compartir humano.
And finally, symbolic of the acceptance of these people, Pope Francis made sure these long ostracized Mayans got a chance during this holy mass to speak in their own languages, Tzeltal, Chol, and Tzotzil.
Mm-hmm.
indigenous Mexican music being played there at the Mass, Pope Francis celebrated in San Cristobal de las Casas in the southernmost state of Chiapas. Finally today, Veronica takes a look at the Pope's message to Mexico's priests, religious and seminarians, a message he delivered during Mass in Morelia, capital of the state of Michoacán, where he urged people not to be resigned to the paralyzing injustice of violence, corruption and drug trafficking.
Michoacán was once known as the Garden of New Spain, but it's more likely to be referred to today as a flourishing garden of drug cartels, so a place of unspeakable drug-related violence. Interestingly, the Holy Mass the Pope celebrated was both in Spanish and in Purépechan, the indigenous language of this area. And in this city where the drug cartels are incredibly powerful and permeate people's lives, his homily reflected what he called a permanent system of violence.
Por la violencia, la corrupción, el tráfico de drogas,
with corruption, drug trafficking, disregard for human dignity, and indifference in the face of suffering and vulnerability.
Y frente a esta realidad, nos puede ganar una de las armas preferidas.
Confronted with this reality, he strongly insisted, we must not be led into temptation. The devil can overcome us with one of his favorite weapons,
la resignación.
Resignation. And then Francis spoke of the value of tapping into our memories when we are tempted. In a special way, he mentioned the figure of the first bishop of Michoacán, Vasco de Quiroga, back in 1536. A man, he explained, who left an interesting legacy.
Quiero hacer memoria de este evangelizador.
As I discovered, this first bishop had adopted Thomas More's utopia as a model, making quite sure the indigenous people were taught religion, crafts, and the fundamentals of self-government. His legacy lives on to this day. Indigenous people have passed down their know-how and are masterfully skilled craftsmen, producing from guitars to pottery, from copper products to woven woolens. Interestingly, Pope Francis referred to Vasco de Quiroga in his homily as the Spaniard who became an Indian.
Como el español que se hizo indio.
One who spoke of these indigenous people as being sold, humiliated and homeless in marketplaces, picking up scraps of bread from the ground.
Lejos de llevarlo a la tentación.
And one, the Pope went on to say, who far from being tempted to resignation, succeeded in kindling the faith in the midst of so much paralyzing injustice.
Tan paralizante e injusto.
Paralyzing injustice, a fitting expression, which could relate to today in this land of gentlemen narcos. With the Pope in Mexico, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.
And that brings us to the end of today's programme, looking back at some of the highlights of Pope Francis's six-day visit to Mexico. Thank you for joining me. I hope you've enjoyed listening, and be sure to tune in again at this same time next week. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.